My dad, Pastor Salem, introduced people all over the world to the love of Jesus Christ by providing them truth from God's Word. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. We are so appreciative of the many ways you communicate with us each week. A recent letter from Iowa reads, "I am in a wheelchair and unable to attend church. I am blessed by Pastor's sermons. I like his down-to-earth approach. I also enjoy a new song, the newsletter I receive each month. These Bible studies encourage me throughout the week. Dad's message today, the raising of Lazarus, speaks to the power of Jesus. We hope you will be uplifted as you hear the lessons we can learn in the death of Lazarus. God bless you."
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we have a sermon today you're going to just love. And it's the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus raising Lazarus, and so many wonderful lessons from it. So call your friends, tell them to tune us in, and you won't be disappointed because it's all about the power of Jesus. We're looking at Psalm 57, where David makes this prayer, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. My soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven, save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your truth, and we thank you for your love and patience and all of the other things. You are such a wonderful God, and you're mindful of us, and you love all of your children. And dear Lord, we just pray today in this service, those who don't know you will open their heart to you today and become a child of God. So bless us in this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Barb's going to sing about Lazarus 4 days late. So God bless you, Barb.
News came to Jesus, "Please come fast. Lazarus is sick, and without your help, he will not last." Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come, and they wondered why. The death watch was over, buried 4 days. Somebody said, "He'll soon be here, the Lord's on his way." Martha ran to him, then she cried, "Lord, if you'd been here, you could have healed him. He'd still be alive. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. And isn't it great, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time." Jesus said, "Martha, show me the grave." But she said, "Lord, you don't understand. He's been there 4 days." The gravestone was rolled back. Then Jesus cried, "Lazarus, come forth." Then somebody said, "He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. You may be fighting a battle of fear. You cried to the Lord, I need you now, but he has not appeared. Friend, don't be discouraged, 'cause he's still the same. He'll soon be here, he'll roll back the throne and call out your name. When he's 4 days late and all hope is gone, Lord, we don't understand why you've been there so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. And isn't it great, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Oh my God is great, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. On time.
Well, Barb, thank you, and that's the sermon right there. I might just well stop. But it's such so many lessons in this story of Lazarus, dead 4 days and raised from the grave. Oh, tune this thing in. If you got the blues or you're downhearted, just listen to this message, because it comes straight from the Word of God, and it has blessings beyond measure. Well, but first of all, we have to read some of these letters. We get so many nice letters. And by the way, I know some of you have your Bibles ready to read. And I always forget the scripture, but we're going to have John chapter 11. So you turn to chapter 11, and that's where we'll be looking at for our scripture. But for letters, we want to share some of them. The first one is from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. And these people write and say, thank you, Pastor, for all the Christian worship hour and all the Christian worship hour. My mother and I watch your program every Sunday together. I tell my coworkers about the Christian worship hour and that they should watch, and I hope they will, and that they will find Jesus. And so that's just exactly what we need to do. Tell other people. Tell them to listen in, because we'll be using the Word of God. We'll be telling them how they can go to heaven instead of hell. And some of them don't realize it. They have never heard. And so you tell them, and tell them what Jesus means to you. And you say, well, I'd like to tell them, but I've never been to Bible school. I've never been to seminary. And I don't know. I just don't know what I'd say, and they'll ask me questions, and I won't know how to answer them. Well, listen, if you've accepted Jesus, they can't take Jesus away from you. And let them ask what they want. You can tell them what Jesus means to you, and you don't need to get theological. God help us. We've got some of these preachers going around. They're so far off in space in theology, they don't even, I don't know if they'll ever come back to earth again. Just tell them what Jesus means to you. Pass the word along. Here's Crofton, Nebraska. A sermon on, they'd like a sermon on evolution of the apes. Some actually believe that. Yep, they do. You know, I was in the first grade when I heard about the apes and the missing link. There's a missing link, see. 1928. Think of that. They've been talking about the apes becoming men, see? But they're short one thing. There's got to be some kind of a link, a bone or something that shows when they were stopped being apes and started being men, see? And they've been looking for that missing link ever since. And they talked about that when I was seven years old walking home from school, and I walked a mile and a half, and I wondered maybe I'd find a missing link. I was looking for the missing link. There's no such thing. If there were millions and millions and millions of apes when they turned into and came into men, wouldn't they have missing links all over the place? But there's no missing links, because we came from the hand of God. Don't forget that, the hand of God. Well, so much for evolution. This is just a theory. It's a fake theory. It's a sad, miserable theory, and it is not scientific. Here's Louisville, Kentucky. My father-in-law wanted you to know how much he enjoys your program. Looking forward to the DVD he's ordering, Heart of a Shepherd. Wanted you to know he's 89 years old, just an old country boy from Kentucky who loves the Lord. I thought that was so nice. I've never been to Kentucky. I just would like to go there, but I'm, you know, 97 years old. I don't even leave the city limits anymore. But isn't that nice here? What did they say? He's an old country boy from Kentucky. Well, I'm going to meet him someday, and he'll meet an old country boy from South Dakota. And I think we'll hit it off just fine, because these country folks, they get along really good, unless it's the Hatfields and the McCoys, and they shot each other, but we don't count them. Let's see, here's Tampa, Florida. I no longer have cable, but watch you on my phone and computer and enjoy you so much. I've been a quadriplegic for 24 years. I feel very blessed to be able to listen to you in my home and watch your videos. And let me say this, we're blessed to have you in our congregation too. And you know, I use a walker. So one of these days when we're in heaven, we'll both be walking again. Maybe we can do a little jogging or something. I don't know what they're going to do in heaven, but I know it's going to be good. And I'm going to walk again. And if I feel I can maybe skip rope, if we can find a rope. Well, we'll worry about that later. Here's Audubon, Minnesota. My husband raised sheep and agrees they are soft, cuddly, and so forth, but they are dumb. He's got it exactly right. He knows sheep. We had sheep. And what does God tell us, talks about it? He says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned unto our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why didn't they say all of we like horses? Why didn't they say cows? Why didn't they say pigs? Why didn't they say anything? No, sheep. Sheep are dumb. And I know you're going to write in, you had a pet sheep, and they were all awful smart, but you never seen a sheep in a circus doing a trick, did you? Everything under the sun is under the tent doing tricks, not the sheep. Oh, no. And so you just, I had a kind of laugh. I read about a man who had a cat, and he wanted to get rid of this cat, but he just hated to do anything violent to it. He was telling his neighbor, and his neighbor says, well, take that cat downtown Boston. And the roads, they tell me, downtown Boston, they follow old cow trails. And he says, you just let that cat down, take it down center Boston, you'll never see it again. So the guy did. He did. Sometime later, he met his friend, and his friend says, did you take that cat down to the Boston? Yep. Did you lose him? Lose him, he says. Would have been for that cat, I never would have found my way home. Everything comes home. Sheep don't come home. The cows come home. The horses come home. The bees come to the hive. Chickens come to the hatch, and they come to their place where they have a perch. Everything comes home, not a sheep. So we're all sheep, and we're wandering away, and we need a shepherd. Jesus is that shepherd. You come to that shepherd and say, dear Jesus, I need your help. I'm lost. I don't know where I'm going. And you don't know it, but you're going to hell if you don't have Jesus. And then just say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And you'll be traveling home, you'll get home. Let's see, where are we? Portland, Oregon. I would love 5 DVDs of Heart of a Shepherd. These will be shared with Vernon Egebroten's grandchildren. Vernon Egebroten, I owe him a lot. He was an evangelist, Christian Missionary Alliance Church, an evangelist, and he came to our country schoolhouse. And he preached the gospel in the fall of 1931. And I went forward in his meeting and accepted Jesus. And I had a great debt to Vernon Egebroughton. He brought me to the Lord. My mother had it all set up. I knew all about Jesus and about his dying for us and all of the rest. But the receiving of him, that took an evangelist, Vernon Egebroughton. So that's what Paul says in Romans 10, verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Exactly right. God bless Vernon Egebroughton. I'll see him again. Let's see, here's Roseau, Minnesota. We have been blessed by your ministry for decades. I know of many homebound people who have found Christ via telecast. Please send two videos, Heart of a Shepherd, for me to share among those in our sphere of influence. Neither of us has the gift of articulation, and so we need the crutch of your video to help us share the word. I thought that was excellent, just excellent. He said neither of us has the gift of articulation. That is, it's hard to talk about Jesus. You know why it's hard to talk about Jesus? Because the devil doesn't want you to. So he says that he thinks everybody's going to get upset of talking about Jesus, or it's hard to explain it. And then so he says, so we need the crutch. And how is a video a crutch? When you give that Christian Worship Hour, that's the crutch, because all you need to do is give that to them. And if they play it, they can come to the Lord all by themselves. They don't need a preacher. They don't need an evangelist. They don't need anybody to explain, because that film is the story of how to come to Jesus. And we had a man who wrote in, or a lady who wrote in and told about her cousin, and they wouldn't listen to anything and would not take a thing. And she gave him that film, and alone, he opened his heart to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you about getting that film at the close of the service. So get your pencil and paper, and you can send that and give it to people, and it'll bring people to Christ. And then let's see, Portland, Oregon. He says, I ordered a Heart of a Shepherd for myself months ago. I found it tremendous blessing and a true cut to the chase ministry tool. I'm requesting 12 more DVDs to give to friends and neighbors. Thank you for your great ministry. And so we send these out on a free will offering basis. They cost us $10 a piece. And you can we'll give, but if you don't have any money and you want to give it to a friend, we'll send it free and postpaid. Somebody else will pick it up. But I thought, listen, it's a true cut to the chase ministry. So I thought, what the world does that mean? So I asked our secretary Lisa. I said, well, can you look that up and see? I can't find it in the dictionary. Cut to the chase ministry, it means, is a phrase that means to get to the point without wasting time. Get to the point and don't waste time. And that's exactly what we do. We just move right along and tell the story. And so you just pray for us, and we'll pray for you. So if you'd like to help us with this, I'm going to give the address right now. It's the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's really something wonderful about that, ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send a gift over the email, internet. It's just wonderful. Anywhere in the world. We got one from Norway. We got somebody from Germany. And what they'll you put in your money, we'll get it in American money, and we'll pay our bills. And so we'd love to hear from you. If you'll accept the Lord during this service, we'll send you literature for that. If you want this film, just put film. And you can have it and use it. And if it doesn't bless you, I'll be very surprised. I know God has been blessing many people with it. And then we have a little paper we put out called The New Song, The New Song. And this little paper has all the sermon topics, and it has the scriptures, so you can look up, and then you can check and see if I'm staying true to the Word of God. And another thing we have is we have excerpts from a lot of letters, a whole page of people, some of their experiences and things of other people and see how they're living. And just, I know you get a blessing out of that. And then every month there's a new Bible study. And this month we're going to have the Bible studies on Jesus, my friend. And there's a whole little study with verses to look up. And we have people use this in prison. And many people in prison write to us. Some churches use it in their for their little Bible studies. And the Ladies Mission Society, they use it. We've heard all kinds of different people. And then in retirement homes, a lot of times they'll use it there. It's a Jesus, my friend, my wonderful friend. And I know it'll be a blessing. And so I hope that you'll write to us. And then we have to have your help, because our only support is God's people. And I know what you think. You're thinking, well, I don't know anything about Harold Salem. What is maybe he puts it in his pocket? What am I, I don't know about that. I'm just a little nervous. And so you can forget your nerves, because we are a Christian Worship Hour, is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that's an organization that is worldwide, international. And they audit our books. They check our books. Every penny we get, every penny we give. And so when you give to the Christian Worship Hour, it'll all go to the preaching of the gospel. So God bless you. Let me give the address one more time for all you shortwave people. You don't have a screen. It's Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now we're just asking you to pray about it and give as the Lord lays on your heart. Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray. And you give as the Lord leads. And for over 40 years, we've always paid our way. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who support us with their prayers and their gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from John chapter 11, and this story starts. You have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the brother and two sisters, and they live in Bethany. And Jesus visited there often. Well, now Jesus is off a ways ministering, and Lazarus dies. And so they send word. And 4 days later, Jesus comes, and this is what we read. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled, and he said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a grave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away ye the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou wouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me. And because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his feet was bound about with a napkin, face bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him, let him go. We're going to pray today, and we're praying for the persecuted church in Saudi Arabia. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful story of Lazarus, showing that you have all power, and you're going to raise up the dead at that last day, all who believe in you and trust in you. And then, Lord, there comes a day when those who refuse you and have spit in your face and have no part of you, they will be raised also, although only it will be for eternal damnation. And, oh, God, we're praying that those people will turn, call in the name of the Lord and be saved. We just thank you as we read this story that we have many lessons that strengthen us and give us hope and faith. And Lord, we are so thankful for our persecuted church in Saudi Arabia. Lord, we just know that some of them are worshiping with us on shortwave radio right now, because our shortwave, we go into every area in the world where the church is being persecuted. And so they're worshiping with us, and we love them, and we pray for them, and we're going to see them in heaven, and they're going to wear a martyr's crown, and that's something we won't have, but they will wear that crown and be, oh, God, we just pray for them and the children, and just to help them to know that they are encouragement to us, and they give us strength also. So now in our service today, Lord, may we see Jesus, and may multitudes find help and strength and comfort, and other multitudes come to Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing for us a wonderful song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Thank you. Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Thank you, Melissa. And I'm going to tell you, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you'll say the same thing. I'd rather have Jesus than the whole world put together. And that's just the way it is. And you say, oh, I can't imagine that. There's a lot of things in the world I'd like to have. If you have Jesus, he'll outshine them all. Well, we're thinking about Lazarus. Oh, I love to preach about Lazarus. So many good lessons in it. And really, when it comes right down to it, we don't know much about Lazarus. He's only mentioned this one time in the Bible, in the New Testament, and then only by two of the apostles, Luke and John. So not a lot about Lazarus. We know he had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and that they lived in a little village called Bethany. And so in this story, Lazarus becomes ill, and Jesus is not in the village. So far as we can tell, Jesus was about 20 miles from Bethany, or that is one good day's journey. So a message is sent to Jesus, and the two sisters, Lazarus, send a message to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. The sisters are in trouble, and they immediately know what to do. They turn to Jesus, and that's always the better part of wisdom. When the storm clouds of life break upon your head, turn to Jesus. When things are out of control and beyond and you can't handle what to do, turn to Jesus. When you're being persecuted as a persecuted church, turn to Jesus. That's the place to go. And so we always ought to be in close contact with Jesus, but especially so when we have our trouble. When the chips are down and the way seems impossible, get word to Jesus. And that is what Mary and Martha did. They sent word to Jesus. They said, Lord, the message they send is, Lord, behold him who thou lovest is sick. Now, did you notice? They didn't ask Jesus for anything. They didn't say, come and see Jesus. Jesus, come and see Lazarus. He's sick and he's about to die. Come running. Come as fast as you can. Perform a miracle. Though they don't ask anything of Jesus. They just tell Jesus, the friend of yours that you love is sick. They know Jesus will come. They know Jesus will do. And so they don't need to tell the Lord what to do. And so many times we have these prayers and we tell the Lord everything to do, just what to do. Like one lady, the husband and the wife, and they just couldn't get along. They fought all the time for years. And finally she says, the wife says to him, John, why don't we pray that God takes one of us home and just do that. And John says, yeah, let's do that. And she says, I'll pray. And she said, dear Lord, take John home so I can go and be with my sister. You see, you have your mind all made. Don't be telling Jesus what to do. And they just says, he's sick. Perfect trust in Jesus. Just let Jesus know. He knows all about us. He knows the situation a lot better than we do. We need to lean on Jesus. Put things in Jesus' hand. Leave the rest to our dear Lord. Maybe some of you today are just all worried and you're fretting and you're hearing the news. And you hear the news and I get sick of it. After a while, I want to just go out and throw up or something. I don't know what I'll do. But it's just, I'm sick of it. And I'm getting worried. And I said, Jesus, I'm giving this to you. Dear Heavenly Father, you're the master of all of creation. And so they send the message. And the servant takes a message to Jesus, a full day's journey. There's one day gone, see? When Jesus receives the message, he declares in verse 4, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified." When Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death," it didn't mean that he wouldn't die. As a matter of fact, he did die. As a matter of fact, he was already dead. He's already dead. And what Jesus is saying is, death is not the final word. Death is not the final word. Death is going to glorify God. Remember this, death is never the final word. For the child of God, for the person who knows God, God is going to have the final word, not death. And so don't worry about these things and put your faith in Jesus, trusting him, loving him, leaning upon him, and he'll lead the way. The end is not death. The end is going to be the glory of God. And when I die, don't come around with your Kleenex and say he's dead. Don't say, don't he look good. Don't say that it's the end. It is not the end. It's not the end to me. The glory of God is the end. The heaven is the end. The eternal home with God is the end. You see, when God gave me eternal life, it's eternal. And so here I am, 10 years old, out in a little country schoolhouse. I accept Jesus. 1931, I accepted Jesus. He gave me eternal life. I had that eternal life for 87 years. And that eternal life keeps going on. My earthly life is going to end, but not my eternal life. It's going on. I'm never going to die. I'm going to die physically, but I'm going to be alive spiritually. And then one of these days, God will raise up that body again. When he gives us eternal life and we come to death, that eternal life goes right on like nothing ever. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's Lazarus. That's all of us when you have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus gets the message. Lazarus has been dead for one day already. Then something mysterious. Jesus abode two more days. Verse 6. Jesus abode still, 2 days still in the same place where he was. Jesus didn't pack up and go rushing to Bethany. He waited 2 days. So now it's 3 days. And the fourth day, he goes back to Bethany. He returns to a place where Lazarus lies dead and decomposing. The decomposing of the body, the decay, the odor, that just magnifies the miracle. It makes it all the more wonderful. That's why Jesus waited 4 days, so there could be no question but the fact that that Lazarus was dead. No question about it. All the world knew he was dead. No one would ever argue the point. Even a blind man knew he was dead. He could smell him. He was dead. He was dead as a mackerel. But it is not too late. Leave the stone where it is. Let me pause just for a moment. Those of you who have died and come back to life again, and you got a book to sell at a handsome price. Now, let me tell you something. If you've been in the grave decomposing for 4 days, then you came back to life. If you've done that, bring your book. I'll buy it, but not until. Keep your books. Sell it to some poor sucker that doesn't know the scriptures. Jesus has assured Martha of the resurrection of eternal life. He declared, Jesus said in verses 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And you'll die physically, but never die spiritually. That will go on forever. And you can't lose it either, else it isn't eternal. So don't come around with that kind of malarkey. What a wonderful truth. I'm the resurrection. That's wonderful. Coming back from the grave. I am the life. That is even better. I'm not raised from the dead, but I shall still live forever because I haven't died yet. And if that'll come, that'll be just fine. That eternal life goes on forever and ever, never ends. Notice too, yet shall he live, not live again. He doesn't say, oh, he's going to live again. No, he never died. He died physically, but spiritually, he never died. See, yet shall he live, not live again. Eternal life begins when we receive the Lord. It never ends until we get into heaven, and then it is forever in eternity. It'll never end, that wonderful eternal life. And then we read, Jesus wept. And those who stood by said, he weeps because he loves them so much. But that was just a part of it. John says in his writings that there was groaning within himself. It was a being troubled, being angry, being upset. That's what Jesus wept. He wept because of these things. And the thought of behind it all is Jesus was seeing the result of sin. Death came because of sin. He could see Satan harming and hurting humanity through sin. Jesus didn't feel sorry for Lazarus. Lazarus was in heaven. He's beyond all sorrow and all pain and all tears. And he's in the presence of God. He's enjoying heaven. He is free from all sin. And he is rejoicing like he never, ever rejoiced before. And now look what was going to happen. He's going to call Lazarus back. And Lazarus doesn't want to come back. He calls him back to the tears. And he calls him back to sorrow. And he calls him back to suffering. And he talks him back to death again. No, Jesus didn't feel sorry for Lazarus. He felt sorry that he had to bring him back. Jesus goes to the grave then. And then he commands that the stone be rolled away. When then Jesus talks to the Father in heaven, and he talks out in a loud voice so all can hear. And see, the enemies were there too. They heard about this thing now, that Jesus is coming back. And there were a lot of unbelievers there, see? And he said, Jesus prays in verses 41 and 42. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me, always hears me. Then John tells us why Jesus spoke out loud. In verse 42, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He wanted all of those gathered in that whole graveyard to see that it was the working hand of God Almighty, the Father, working through his Son Jesus. That God in heaven was approving every move. That God in heaven was a partner with what Jesus was doing. The Holy Trinity is there. And then what? Verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Why did they put in there a loud voice? Why, so that Lazarus could hear him? Not at all, not at all. He spoke to Lazarus knowing he would hear him. Jesus didn't shout for Lazarus. He shouted for all of those that gathered in the cemetery out there. All the believers and all the unbelievers. That was for them to see that this is something, the power of God. Jesus had just prayed out loud so the crowd could hear him as he talked to God. And then still the crowd, Lazarus was still in the grave. And then he calls Lazarus, but not that Lazarus couldn't hear him. He wanted everybody in the graveyard to hear him. That's why we are the Christian worship hour. We want the whole world to hear him. But Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way to heaven, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets into heaven but by me. There's one door into heaven, and I love the church. I spend most of my life in the church preaching. The church can't save you. The rituals can't save you. There's only one thing that can save you, and the works can't save you. A lot of you are counting on doing good works, and God says all of your works are as filthy rags. The only righteousness is Jesus Christ and his blood. And that's what he's telling us here. He wants all of these people to hear so that they will find Jesus and come to the everlasting life. There was nothing secretive about the calling of Lazarus. There was no hocus pocus thing. There was no mirrors and lights and such as all of that. There wasn't any of this stuff like you find at the circus. It was right out in the open. You don't need the wizards, and you don't need the sorcerers, and you don't have to communicate with the dead. So there's just no mumbling and strange words and all of this that people don't understand. Oh, this dear Jesus, he speaks so openly, and he's telling us that this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he's showing us that he's going to raise Lazarus, and the whole world is going to know it. And it's going to be done openly, and it's going to be done clearly, and it's going to be done loudly, and it's going to be simply that a child can understand. Lazarus, come forth. That's why we preach the way we do, so that little children come to Jesus, and that's the way they do it. And Jesus did that. Suffer the little children to come unto me, he said. And he talked to them so they knew what he was understanding, what he was talking about. And so the Lazarus says, come out. That's all, nothing more. That's what it is with God. He doesn't do things secretly and quietly, but openly and clearly doing his work. St. Paul standing in court before the Roman governor of Judea, Porcius Festus, relating his conversion, declared this to the emperor, Acts 26, verse 26. None of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. And this thing of raising Lazarus wasn't done at night when nobody was around. It was there in broad daylight so the whole world could see. All of Bethany and half of Jerusalem were there to see the raising of Jesus Christ. Jesus talked to Lazarus just as if he had expected an answer. No question about it. Martha did not talk to Lazarus like that. Mary didn't talk to Lazarus expecting that he could hear. He's dead, they say. Don't go there. He's dead. I don't expect to see him until the resurrection. Jesus walks up to the grave and he just talks to Lazarus. Lazarus, and guess what? Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Nobody holds their nose. He's fully restored. And that's the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus, that decomposition of the body. And all of these people being raised from the dead. How long are you decomposed, brother, sister? Well, an hour or two or something, and he decomposed nothing. And so Jesus, at 4 days, can be no question. And do you know something else? Lazarus began to witness immediately. It doesn't say that he preached. I think he probably preached a sermon, but it doesn't say that. It's just simply that we're not told that. But we do know he stood up before the people, whole and restored, and the people believed in Jesus. Many turned to Jesus. That's what we must do. We must live a life as clean and pure as we can make it. You all can't be preachers, and some of us that are preachers probably ought not be, but you can all have a clean life or strive to have that clean life. That's what Lazarus, he didn't get up and go to seminary and come back and start preaching in a fancy way. He just came up and told him what Jesus had done for him. Raised me from the dead. This is Lazarus. And I thank my Jesus. Paul wrote to young Timothy and he said, 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, yes, in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so you need to pray to Jesus that you'll live that life and try to live that life as perfect as you can. Instead of repenting, the Jewish rulers, what did they do? They wanted to kill Lazarus. John tells us in John 12, 9 to 11, much people of the Jews therefore knew what he was there, therefore that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. So they came to see if the miracle could be done. They hear Jesus going to come and do something about it. And they all come, the rulers come. And they're looking. That's what John tells us. But that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. They didn't believe. be caused by reason, and so let me look at it again. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. When you think of that, isn't that a miracle, downright miracle? Here is the miracle that the Jewish people, the leaders, wanted to put him to death. And there are some stories that say that Lazarus actually was put to death, and we don't know, and it really doesn't matter anymore. All that's all settled and gone. But the point that I think that Jesus is making is that Lazarus here, he comes forth and is a beautiful thing, and many repented, and many that turned, but those who were set, and those had their mind made up, they'll say no to Jesus. And some of you have heard, had the offer given before, and you're asking him if you come to Jesus. But you always stick in your own way, and you stay in your own way. And the longer you stay that way, the tougher you get. And finally, it's like water running off a duck's back. And sometimes it's to the point where they want to kill Lazarus. They want to kill the messenger. And they're so set, they just can't turn. And they, like Pharaoh, hardened his heart. It's because he rejected the things of God. He rejected the word of God. And he became so hard that he just didn't repent and was lost forever. And I'm praying today in the Christian worship hour that maybe you've had your chance. Maybe this is the first chance. Maybe you've had many chances. But you know what we're told in Proverbs 29, verse 1? He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, I don't know what that means, except that's what God says. He says, he that being often reproved, God has talked to you over and over and over, and you've always rejected it. You harden your neck, and you won't have anything to do with it. Suddenly shall be destroyed. That's what God says. I'm not making up something here. But there's something mysterious here, that there comes a time when it's the last time and God disposes of us. And so what we're saying today, don't say no to God. Maybe you don't understand all the things about God. I know I sure don't. Well, it's impossible. We have a finite mind. God has an infinite mind. No way you can possibly understand the mind of God until we get to heaven and with the Lord. And so I just beg of you to turn from your ways. Don't harden your heart. Instead, open your heart. And you just say, Jesus, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, please, to come into my heart and take my sins away. He takes them away with the blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you do that, God will save you. You'll be born again. You'll be born from above. You'll have the new birth. You'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit. All of that in one breath, by the power of Almighty God. And you're a part of the body of Christ. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to see you in heaven. And oh, I can't wait to get there and see how many of you are coming. And maybe you're coming right now. Multitudes, I believe they are. And if you do that, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you literature. Or you can get to the Christian Worship Hour, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we have a way of salvation there. And we have other materials you can read from that. But I know many of you can't get to the internet or something like that. So you just ask Jesus into your heart and then write to us. And if you want to have that, film about the heart of a shepherd, you ask for that. If you want to be on the new song, get that literature, ask for that. And just pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And someday we'll see you in heaven. I just know that many of you are coming to Christ. And you know what it says in the Bible? There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God when somebody accepts Jesus. It says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Who's that? That's the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son rejoice when one soul comes. And I have a feeling that multitudes are coming, so you come. And then we're going to pray for you now. And dear Heavenly Father, I just pray. We pray for all of those who are coming to you. Bless them and strengthen them and show them the way as they start the Christian life and help them to rejoice. Be with those on beds of sickness. Be with those who are in deep waters and hard times. Bless the young people trying to find their way, Lord, and making big decisions, and the precious children, that they'll come to you. Oh, Jesus, that's our prayer. And we'll give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for all of you shortwave people, let me give the address again. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll get your letter, and if you're accepting the Lord, we'll send you literature, and we'll pray for you, and you pray for us, and all of us together, working together, we'll bring multitudes to Christ. And wouldn't it be wonderful that everyone who heard the voice of this service, the Word of God, will come to Jesus. And I want you all to know this, that God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, have everlasting life. God loves you. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we do this week after week for over 40 years. Because we love you and we want you to come to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I've been preaching for all these years, and I'm just praying because I love you. I love your soul, and I want to see you in heaven. I want to shake your hand in heaven. So God bless you. And next week, tune us in. Lord willing, back.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.